Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
John McCain can face the enemy. He can win, and he can bring victory for this country.
Rudy Giuliani at the Republican convention. Victory, a big applause line from his speech the other night. But what is victory in Iraq? How do the candidates define it? How does President Bush? This is back in the news because yesterday the president announced a small troop withdrawal based on events in Iraq to take effect in a few months. That brought a rebuke from Barack Obama of the Bush and McCain war policies, but also new questions about the meaning of victory. Here is how President Bush yesterday related winning and withdrawal.
Well, the enemy in Iraq is dangerous. We have seized the offensive. Iraqi forces are becoming increasingly capable of leading and winning the fight. As a result, we've been able to carry out a policy of return on success, reducing American combat forces in Iraq as conditions on the ground continue to improve.
Return on success, he called that, or in numerical terms, 8,000 troops will return, 138,000 will remain, based on the results of the war to date. So let's talk about what this means for the United States, for Iraq, and for the presidential campaign. We will also hear Senator Obama duck the question of what victory means to him. My guests are Michael Hirsch, Newsweek senior editor. His weekly column there is The World from Washington, and Juan Cole, Iraq expert, professor of modern Middle East and South Asian history at the University of Michigan, and blogger on Iraq for Informed Consent. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC. And Michael Hirsch, what exactly did the president announce yesterday? Take us behind that headline.
Well, not much. He announced, as you just indicated, that by in early next year, around the time he leaves office, an additional 8,000 U.S. troops would be withdrawn, leaving the total troop numbers at about 146,000. So right around or just under where they were before the surge began, and far more than was expected. You may recall from the debate in the pre-surge era over plans by then General Casey to draw down, and this was later taken up by the Baker-Hamilton Commission, the idea that we would be getting down to a very small force by actually early 2008. So this really takes us well beyond projections that we were discussing a few years ago.
Right. You said 146,000 remain. I said 138. So maybe I subtracted the 8,000 twice. But Juan Cole, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I also come to 138. But we've been down to 133,000 in spring of 2006. So we're still well above the troop levels of some points in the past, and it's a sign that the U.S. commanders in Iraq have told the president that it would be dangerous to withdraw too many troops right now. That the whatever victories have been achieved are extremely fragile, and they're petrified that if you remove too many troops, that the situation will deteriorate. There are a number of lively conflicts, political conflicts and military conflicts in Iraq that could explode at any moment. You have a building conflict between the Arabs and the Kurds over Kirkuk. That's a shoe that hasn't dropped yet, but could at any moment. There's still a lot of Sunni guerrilla activity in Mosul, and apparently an attempt by some guerrillas to take over this northern second city of Iraq. There's been substantial ethnic cleansing of Sunnis from Baghdad. Probably Baghdad is now 75% Shiite. It had been half and half. The Sunnis are trickling back. There's some question about whether they'll have to fight for their own property, so you could have a second battle of Baghdad. So this is not a situation in which U.S. Commanders like General David Petraeus are comfortable in making a big reduction in U.S. troops.
Even with all the news we've been getting lately about the handover of authority to the Iraqis in Anbar province, which was supposed to be, you know, the big symbol of the success of the insurgency in the past, now the big symbol of the success of the surge. But what you're laying out for us, Professor Cole, is that it's still a very militarily complicated situation in Iraq, and apparently so, in the opinion of David Petraeus, if this is the only withdrawal he can recommend. What about this policy that the president called return on success? We heard that clip. Mike Hirsch, does that help us understand either the president's or John McCain's definition of victory? You know, Rudy was very insistent in that convention clip on victory as the standard, and he got yelps of applause. How does that phrase, this policy, return on success, relate to that?
Well, it's, you know, yet another way in which the administration has danced around the definition of what victory is. You may remember during the hearings earlier this year, Senator Obama, these were the Foreign Relations Committee hearings, went at General Petraeus over, you know, how would you define success? Does it mean the entire elimination of al-Qaeda in Iraq? Does it mean the entire elimination of Iran's influence in Iraq? And, you know, of course, the answer had to be no. So we still don't have, I mean, it sounds great in a stump speech at the Republican convention when you yell out victory, but we haven't had a good definition of that. And so a return on success, we don't know what that means either, other than, as you suggested, an additional 8,000 will get to leave. And I would correct what I said earlier. You guys were right. It does come to 138,000. I misspoke.
And listeners, we don't have a lot of time for this, but if you have a definition of success, of victory in Iraq, we'd like to hear it. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post it on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have a whole big page there called What Victory Means. How do you define victory in Iraq? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and post it, or call it in here at 212-433-9692. Here is Barack Obama reacting derisively to the president's announcement yesterday.
In the absence of a timetable to remove our combat brigades, we will continue to give Iraq's leaders a blank check instead of pressing them to reconcile their differences. So the president's talk of return on success is a new name for continuing the same strategic mistakes that have dominated our foreign policy for over 5 years.
And here is John McCain on the announcement yesterday.
We have succeeded in Iraq, and we are winning, and our troops will come home with victory and honor. They will come home with victory and honor. If Senator Obama had had his way, we'd have suffered defeat. Iranian influence would have increased, and we would face greater chaos in the region.
So that was yesterday, Obama and McCain. You heard Obama dancing on that phrase, return on success, as just another term for being unwilling to set a meaningful timetable for withdrawal. So that was yesterday. But here is a longer clip of Obama on ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, unable to define victory himself after he criticizes the Republicans for not being able to.
They have yet to define victory, or it's a very slippery definition. You know, my view is, number one, that it was a poorly conceived mission. So to talk about victory, I think George Bush, with the help of John McCain and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, made a big strategic blunder. There are enormous costs to that blunder. It's the equivalent of them driving the car off the ditch. I think it's possible for us to get the car back on the road, but
that's not going to be victory.
That doesn't signify that we are better off than had we not gone. And so I do think there has been enormous reductions in violence because of the extraordinary service of our troops. And there is no doubt that that the improvements in terms of violence has to do with the surge and the Sunni awakening, the Shia militias standing down, and we have to take advantage of that opportunity.
So, Juan Cole, can either party define what they mean by victory in Iraq, or are they both going to dance around it forever?
Well, what they mean by victory in Iraq is common to both. They mean standing up a government in Iraq that won't collapse as soon as we leave, that has general legitimacy inside the country and out, that can deal itself with the major challenges from paramilitaries and criminal groups and guerrilla groups of various sorts, and which is not overtly and extremely obedient to the dictates of Iran. And both, I think, are aiming at that same goal. One calls it victory. One calls it getting the road, the car back on the road. But that's what any administration is going to aim at. They're going to aim at a relatively stable Iraq, which is relatively autonomous and which is friendly to United States interests in the crucial Persian Gulf, from which so much, I mean, over two-thirds of the world's known petroleum reserves are there. And nearly half of the world's natural gas.
You didn't mention al-Qaeda in that victory, did you?
Well, I said guerrilla groups of various sorts. Brian, I don't like that word al-Qaeda for the guerrillas in Iraq. It's a propaganda term. There are lots of groups in Iraq that are fighting the Maliki government in the United States. Some of them are Sunni. Some of them are, you know, remnants of the Ba'ath. Some of them are tribal groups.
Right.
Some of them have a religious tinge.
But al-Qaeda in the sense of any group that could use their base in Iraq as a way to follow us home, as they put it.
Yeah, well, there aren't any groups like that. The groups in Iraq that are Sunni and so we call al-Qaeda, they call themselves Islamic State of Iraq. They don't have bin Laden's phone number. They're a national liberation organization. They're not an international terror organization. They are weak. They have been defeated by their own people, the Sunnis, in the Awakening Councils. They are surrounded by a majority of Shiites and Kurds who are hostile to them. The Syrians don't like them. The Turks don't like them. So this fantasy that the United States has put out of a kind of state-like entity in Iraq called al-Qaeda is simply fantastic.
Michael Hirsch from Newsweek, do you agree with that, and does Washington agree with that?
Well, no. I mean, when you say Washington, I mean, obviously you've got Democrats and Republicans, and so different views there. I take what Professor Cole is saying, although, you know, al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, as it called itself, particularly when it was led by Zarqawi, clearly had, you know, jihadist ambitions to the point where he apparently orchestrated bombings across the border in Jordan at that time. Now it may, you know, it may now be that that group, as it existed under Zarqawi before he was killed, no longer exists or is virtually eliminated. But I would agree on the whole that most of the militant groups in Iraq have been, national liberation or anti-U.S. And are not likely to quote unquote follow us home. So I think it's I wouldn't say that there's no al-Qaeda whatsoever.
Michael Hirsch, The World from Washington columnist for Newsweek with us. Also Juan Cole, Iraq expert at the University of Michigan. And listeners are calling in and posting to say how you define victory in Iraq. Bujar in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. I come from dictatorship society, and the definition of the victory is that 24 million people are free, and we achieved that. Second thing, that is strategic thing that we achieved it, is that oil. Imagine if you had Saddam Hussein with all that oil money destabilizing the whole region, like Chavez does in Venezuela. Russians are coming with, they're using the oil money. We all know that Iraq has the second largest reserves of oil in the world, and now the third thing is that we have planted the seeds of democracy in a dictatorship region.
So you're saying victory is at hand. We've won.
Absolutely.
The Iraqi
absolutely.
People have won. Does that mean these 138,000 additional troops can come home without threat to the Iraqis?
They will come eventually, Brian. I'm a Democrat. I'm a registered Democrat. And we Democrats have to figure out, we cannot have it both ways. You know, we cannot have it blah, 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 and then, you know, win an election. You know, sometimes we have to stand up and stand up for the what the values of America has. And the victory is complete. You know, it's unbelievable. Who would imagine that you have free press in Iraq? You know, Saddam Hussein's sons were raping women in the street. I mean, they were killing people, shooting people like dogs.
Bruja, I gotta go. But just tell me where you're from originally. Which dictatorship?
I'm your former Yugoslavia, Albanian,
right.
I lived 24 years under dictatorship, and I'm so happy that 24 million. Iraqis are free.
Thank you very much for calling us. Bujar, I appreciate it a lot. Okay, Bujar says, we've won. Scott in Englewood, I think, will say, there's no such thing as victory. Is that right, Scott?
Well, to use the word victory seems absurd and cruel if you look at it in the historical perspective. We illegally invaded this country, a sovereign nation. Thousands of innocent civilians died. The United Nations only gave us sort of a legal veneer for this when they realized we had to do damage control. I think it's just cruel and absurd to tell the rest of the world that there can be a victory. It's like somebody going and breaking into someone's house and killing people and saying, what's victory in this situation, you know? I think we have to be wise in the way we atone for our mistake and try to create a situation which is a win-win for everyone involved, but to call it a victory just seems cruel.
Scott, thank you. Peter in Rockville Center has a definition of victory. Hi, Peter.
I think we should stop thinking in words and start thinking in numbers. 70% unemployment in Iraq. 150,000 troops over there. Not even 1% of them speak the language. I think it's disgusting what we're doing there. I think it's upsetting. What I'm saying is numbers speak louder than words. We're dealing with a country for the last 20 years hasn't had a formal education system going. You're dealing with people who are basically run by religious leaders. We have basically a democracy cannot work there because the numbers don't add up.
Peter, thank you very much. Is that too pessimistic, Juan Cole, his conclusion there to say that democracy cannot work there because the numbers don't add up?
Well, democracy would face enormous challenges in Iraq. The only elections that have been held there have been held because the United States military locked down the country for several days, forbidding vehicular traffic so as to stop bombings. The first election that was held was anonymous. People couldn't know the candidates they were voting for because their lives were in danger. They couldn't campaign. I mean, these were not elections that would pass muster by international standards. And the country has been unable, the parliament has been unable to pass enabling legislation to have a second round of provincial elections so that most Sunnis in the country are disenfranchised at a provincial level. They didn't participate in the first round. And they're not represented by people they elected. The issue of the oil city of Kirkuk, which is claimed by the Kurds and claimed by the Arabs and the Turkmen, has prevented the parliament from moving forward with a second round of provincial elections. So you see the enormous obstacles that are there. There's factionalism. There are still large numbers of private militias. People are being threatened. There's not security. Mm-hmm. I agree with the caller that, you know, you might be able to get a fragile state that doesn't collapse like a house of cards when the U.S. leaves. It'd kind of be like Lebanon, I think. But democracy is a stretch.
So, Michael Hirsch, we're almost out of time, but here's a question from our comments page. Lloyd from Manhattan says Steve Cole in the New Yorker profile of General Petraeus says that Petraeus never uses the word victory. Do you know that to be true?
He definitely avoids it. He's very cautious. I just wanted to add that I think we kind of enlarge the concept of victory and discuss Afghanistan and discuss the larger, so-called war on terror, the diversion of about 4,000 troops that that Bush discussed, which will go to Afghanistan. But even so, with some 37,000 U.S. troops there, is scarcely enough to contain the resurgence of the Taliban. And we have to ask ourselves, with Bush referring to going back to the original battlefield, whether we took our eye off the ball, which is what Barack Obama argues, by going into Iraq in the first place, because we are now, we now have our hands more than full in Afghanistan and Pakistan across the border.
But then let me turn it on its head before you both go and ask you about the word defeat, because with Obama so unable or unwilling to express his definition of victory to George Stephanopoulos in that clip, and the Republicans constantly saying, well, if you leave Iraq or substantially leave Iraq before a lot of these conditions that you and our various callers have been identifying are met, then the U.S. is just declaring or accepting defeat in Iraq. Would that be defeat, Michael?
Again, I think Juan earlier laid out conditions that are clearer than any we've heard from the administration, a basically stable government that can keep itself in place, an army, an Iraqi army that can continue doing what it has been doing with a lot of U.S. air support. We're not going to leave there completely, right, even under the 2011 deadline being set by the bilateral agreement.
But then
that can keep the peace in Sadr City and Basra and places like that.
And so Juan Cole, the last word in our final 30 seconds, if this 16-month timetable that Obama wants and that even President Bush seems to have signed on to, in theory, is adhered to, are your criteria for victory going to be met, do you think, or is the whole thing going to fall apart?
Well, I'd give it 70-30 that it might be met. The Iraqi military seems to have made strides. They're developing their armor corps. They've had some victories in Basra and Amara and so forth. And they're now buying a lot of new equipment. They want 36 F-16s. If they develop an air force and they continue to make strides with their ground military, they could maybe minimally sort of provide security, which I think is what we can expect.
And that's where we have to leave it for today. Iraq is back in the presidential campaign. Juan Cole, Iraq expert at the University of Michigan, blogger at Informed Comment, and Michael Hirsch, Newsweek senior editor, his weekly column there, The World from Washington. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. The Metropolitan Museum of Art has a new leader. Does it matter to you? Does it matter to art? Stay with us, and then we'll talk about that super collider turning on today and how we all have survived it so far. Stay with us.